sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friend, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
I am your king now!
Oh, God, yo, settle down. All right. I don't think you guys, you people, you listeners are ready for this.
Bullfire.
That I'm about to drop on y'all. So I want you to brace yourself because it's going to be some Dracarys up in this bitch. Are you ready? Are you ready? I don't think you're ready. Okay, all right. Hey. Check out that person, man, because I don't wanna get sued for the fire you about to feel from this poetry. Are you ready? All right, let's go. Some water, because it's that hot. Edgo, Holly Berry to Hallelujah. Hold on a second. Let me restart. Okay, I said, Edgo, Holly Berry to Hallelujah. Pick your poison. Tell me what you're doing. Everybody gonna respect the shooter. But the one that's in front of the gun lives forever. The one that's in front of the gun lives forever. And I'll be hustling all day, this away, that away, through canals and alleyway, just to say, money trees is the perfect place to first shade. And that's just how I feel.
Message.
Nah. A dollar might just fuck your main bitch. That's just how I feel. Nah. A dollar might say, fuck them niggas that you came with. That's just how I feel. Nah. A dollar might just make that lane switch. That's just how I feel. Nah. A dollar might turn to a million and we all rich. That's just how I, feel. Didn't I tell you? Blazing. Oh my God. Call the freaking fire. You know what? This verse deserves a.
I am your king now.
Oh my God. Dominated. All right. Okay. All right. Let's get organized here. Get the peoples organized. Let's do this. All right. Put the fire out. Okay. Let's go. All right. Welcome. Et bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host. Beat Black, a.k.a. Beat Blizzak, a.k.a. B.Black, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, and finally, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Sorry, okay, all right, let's get organized. All right, I'm sorry. What happened is I kind of fucked up the intro. Usually I just say B.Black, B.Blizzak, B.Black. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com and Le Grand Papa B. That last one is just, it's my way of acknowledging to the French Canadians and to the French Canadians listening to this shit. This is me just saying, hey, holla, shout out, nothing but love. All right. Before I start the show, I want to inform you listeners that this podcast is still protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. That means Rouge et Bleu is up in this bitch. Damn. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on June 11, 2023 at, goddamn, 6:15 p.m. And gray skies out there. Looks like it's about to rain. Yeah, and no smoke, no wildfire smoke. Doesn't smell like campfire anymore. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew, and if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. I seriously, from the bottom of my heart, fuck you too. All right, okay. We did it. Got these intro going. Where do I start? I did tell you I was about to bring that fire. In final thoughts, I'll explain where I was going, what's up with like I usually do. In final thoughts, I'll explain. I'll give more context to my title and intro verse selection, intro or poetry. This is the intro portion. I just like to massage you. Think of it as like foreplay for listeners. And following is the format of the show. Following the intro, we get into news and random thoughts. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of news and random thoughts in this segment. Hold on a second. Let me just make sure I don't screw up my... You know what? Too late. All right. Yeah, there's a lot of news and random thoughts. So I made myself a note to say, fuck the timer, man. Part of the reasons why I picked today's... Oh, man. Hold on a second. Oh, man. I'm going to have to change the battery in these headphones because they're tripping. Yeah. Part of the title selection, that's just how I feel. It's me just taking it. I'm going with the flow today. I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm going to go with the flow. And just realize, I think every podcast, this podcast should pretty much be, that's just how I feel podcast. But instead, I just call it Shut Up. Right? Shut up so you can hear what I feel. Well, whatever. Yeah. So, that's the theme. That's kind of the overall theme of today's podcast. So, let's go with that. All right. Okay, quick quote I want to share with y'all. And again, shout out to my man, Talal Macy, for sharing this quote. And it goes, we are what we believe we are, by C.S. Lewis. And I just like that thought because it reminds me of this journey I'm going into, this journey about feeling. I had a moment this week where I realized it's not just that I feel like a curse. I hate it's like justification for hating myself for being a curse. Because I feel it. Was it perception is reality? Because I feel it, because I have this belief of being a curse, it justifies any self-hatred. But that's a longer conversation. Okay, finally, before we jump into using random thoughts, which I did say there's a shitload, this could have gone in random thoughts, but I'm just going to show this. This is basically a PSA of white people, stop using the N-word, all right? It's not like in the fucking movies where it ends well, but this is actually an old clip, but it's new to a new audience, and it's a brother who's works at a hotel. And I guess he canceled the reservation on these white folks for dropping the N-word on them. And these white folks are like trying to appeal to to his better nature of I swear, man, everything white people know about us from the fucking movies. Yeah, this white person is trying to get this black person to be like, hey, come on, man, let me stay in this hotel. And there's a back and forth, and the brother ain't having it. The brother just ain't having it. So let me play this, and we'll keep it going. And we'll start from there. Okay, hold on a second.
that, but you called me a fucking
I need
nigger.
To stay here. My mother died.
I understand that, but you called me a fucking nigger. No,
I'm sorry.
You weren't sorry when you said it on the phone.
Listen, there was
no, but
at home.
At the end of the day,
and
the climate
to
that we live in today, society.
I said I was sorry.
I understand that, but it's above me now.
It's above me now.
I need a room tonight.
Well, there's the best restaurant next door.
No, please let me hear. My daughter's here.
I'm sorry, but. I mean, I was on the phone when you said it.
I said, I'm sorry. Please, I've been in a...
Please.
I've had a horrible day.
And I
today.
Had a horrible time when hearing that.
You don't let me in.
It's above me. She called me a fucking nigger.
Sir, my grandma just
I
died.
Understand that, but it's above me.
Let me... Please let me.
It's above me. Sorry.
I got my credit
card. The best
card.
Restaurant is next door.
Sir, the rest of our family
I understand
is here.
That, but it's above me.
It's above me.
Please. I
she said what she
you.
Said.
I understand that.
These white folks don't fucking get it. She really thought she was gonna be like, hey, okay, I understand your little fragile nigger feelings were hurt by being called nigger, but my grandmother died. Homeboy stuck to that landing. So yeah, I know. I mean, that sucks. It's unfortunate, but we don't have you kind of people in here. I was just talking about how, look, okay, let's make this quick. Okay, let's jump into use a random thought. But again, everything that I play, all in the show notes. All in the show notes, all right? Okay, so let's jump into use a random thought. Let's do this. Yeah, all right. I'm trying something different. I'm speaking a little further away from the microphone. Hopefully, because my volume is, my voice is as inconsistent as the output from the computer. And it tends to spike. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to avoid spiking today. I'm trying to avoid having to clean up fucking this audio during post edit. So bear with me, all right? I mean, here's hoping it works. All right, let's do this. We are what we are. No, that's not what I meant to say. Okay, yeah. So, that's just how I feel. Initially, I was considering titling this episode From Wildfires to Trump. Because between the last published episode and today, I feel like it started, like in terms of news, major news that went out is there was the wildfire. I think I may have mentioned on the last episode, not that, by the way, you don't have to listen to the last episode. I'm just speaking casually, right? this won't be on the test. So I'm just saying, I may have mentioned on the last episode how outside felt like a campfire. And if you've never been camping, go out there and burn some wood. I don't know. Whatever, right? But it smelled like residue from a burning campfire. And only to realize, or then later I realized it was actually the wildfire that was in a province nearby of Quebec. I didn't know, honestly, man, when I think of wildfires, usually on the west coast of Canada, on the west part, but I didn't realize that it was a common thing, and, it was a common thing, long story short, yada, 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 the fucking flames, the burning must have been so significant that the smoke came to Ottawa. What I didn't know is that shit even affected New York, Philadelphia, I don't know how far it went down, but I saw the pictures, man. Some I Am Legend kind of picture, like smoke, like, man, Canada was on the map. First it was poutine, then it was Drake, now it's the smoke. Shout out to, what's his name, Bobby Ricky? Come on, okay, some Haitian comedian, really funny guy. Ricky, what's his name? Okay, you know what, because I can't find his name, I'm not going to repeat his joke. But it was in reference to, oh my God, sorry. I'm scrolling and I got distracted by some titties. Where was I? Yes. Oh yeah. My point is, it wasn't just Ottawa that was affected by who was smelling like campfire, or the smoke even went all the way down to, the states on the east side of the eastern province, like New York and shit, right? And significant, right? So that was in the news. That was in the news, and apparently there was a Canada Land interview, not a Canada Land, discussion about this, not interview, but a discussion about it. And one is, the news has been doing a shitty job, like usual, shitty job breaking down what's going on. Now, I understand, okay, you know what, I'm not gonna do it worse. But apparently, with climate change, well, one is, these forest fires aren't new. They happen every year. But with climate change, is we can get used to these things being even more serious, even more significant. So, just remember this conversation, because next year we'll be bitching about the smoke and acting like, well, this is you, must be the end of the world, and whatever. Anyways, Trump, apparently he's indicted. It's so fucked up that I had to Google the word indicted. And once I Google the word, looked it up, look it up in the definition, in the dictionary, and then I had to translate it in French to realize it means accusation. So, kind of sounds like Trump is in trouble. Now, I don't believe it. Trump, to me, is like Claire Davis. Was it Claire Davis? Not Claire Davis. Claire Davis. Oh, man. Mayor Davis? Damn it. Davis from The Wire. And my point, Clay Davis. Jesus Christ, Claire. Clay Davis, yes. And and the quote goes, you don't dance on his grave until you make sure that motherfucker is dead in the grave. So anyone celebrating that Trump is getting all these indictments, but nah, man, that motherfucker is bulletproof. He's used on getting, I think he's used on women catching him in the end. He's used on having his hand in the cookie jar. He's used on being like, hey, it wasn't me. So until that motherfucker is behind bars, I ain't celebrating. Even when he's behind bars, I don't trust this dude, like, escapes to the afterlife. I don't, whatever, man. Maybe I'm scared. Anyway, so that's been the major news this week. There's one more news I'll touch on in there, but I'll get back to you on that one. So I just need to jump on the next item on the rundown sheet. Next item is, what I couldn't say about the killing of Latasha Harlins. Yes, in the previous episode, I was kind of shook about acknowledging the fact that the woman who murdered Latasha Harlins, the black girl who was killed over a glass of, what was it, a bottle of juice? Tupac reminded us of that all the time. But I was shook about acknowledging the fact that the woman who killed her was Korean. And because the tweet where I got the story, the reminder of the killing of Latasha Harlins is was I guess a black person saying some anti-Asian shit, man. And part of why I was shook is, look, man, I know there's a beef between the community. Okay, now that's general. Between the ignorance among us, like there's a we forget that we're at war with fucking white supremacy here, not each other. And I ain't trying to say something that's gonna not piss off, but disrespect any of the allies, even though they would have been understanding. But I ain't trying to be that guy. So I was just very careful with my words. So I'm gonna play a clip from by, what's her name again? The something fairy. Hold on a second. Her name is, there it is. Okay. Hold on. Circus Fairy 33, right? And she could just break it down better than I could. And shout out to her. So here we go. Here we go. And I'll play it now.
Asian American businesses have been operating in black communities for 60 years. I'll say it again. The Civil Rights Act passed in 1964, and the United States opened the door to Asian immigration in 1965 to put immigrants in the way of black people. And this idea that the tension between business owners and customers is one of mutual cultural misunderstanding that could be overcome if they just got to know each other better, the time for that has long past. And as I've said before, the problem with framing the misunderstanding as mutual is where one demographic owns the businesses and the other demographic has to pay, there's no mutuality. There is a power imbalance. The only situation that I could see being beneficial at this point would require Asian Americans to be willing to leverage their ability to secure the business loans, to secure supplier accounts, and to attain business licenses, to open in Black communities specifically to hire Black people to work in the businesses and to provide the professional development opportunities so that Black people can become the leadership in the businesses in their communities. But I don't have a lot of hope that Asian Americans are willing to do that because the Asian American business owners that we see currently are not even willing to treat their Black customers as human. So I fully support Black people boycotting these problematic businesses in their community. And I want to say that I think another thing that non-Black people aren't aware of is that it is not as simple as boycotting the businesses and putting them out of business and then opening your own to compete. Because the system will find ways to still not give them the loans or rezone them so they can't open a business or not grant the business licenses. And suppliers are literally conspiring against Black people who have managed to open a business in their own community to not supply to them because they don't want Black people competing with the Asian American owned businesses in the community. So I wish that I had more to offer in the way of solutions, but I really don't. But please do not gaslight Black people with respect to what the issue is.
Yeah, it's all about framing the conversation. Yeah. Man, shout out to the intelligent. I got a thing for intelligent human beings. Okay, I'm going to minimize the screen because I'm so distracted by all this. Sorry. Oh my God. Someone decided to notify me. Yeah. I'm distracted. I got browsers opened up and I'm talking to you and I'm so distracted. So let me try to focus here. Right. Yeah, man. Shout out to Circus Fairy. Circus Fairy 33. I encourage you to check out her content. And you know what's funny is, okay, I'm going to confession is initially I was starting to feel like the person who did I just find an Asian to say, something that I agree with to other Asians. No, that wasn't the fucking point. It was more how I'm realizing there's a lot about Black American culture that I can't speak about. Not because it's not my place, it's because I don't believe in uninformed opinions. All right? Now, I grew up I don't believe in uninformed opinion. And one of my biggest fear is articulating an uninformed opinion. Now, I am not telling you what to think. I'm just saying, regarding the conflict between Black Americans and Asian Americans and their community, there's not much I can say except that there's a beef. There's some conflict. Not everyone, but there's some parts of the United States that there's a conflict. And a lot of it is in white supremacy. People think that they're better than Black folks. And Black folks being resentful and ready to fight back, man. Look, man, I still remember Ice Cube, Black Korea. And that verse is, what do I feel like I'm speaking at the UN? All right, you know what? I'm just going to skip to the next item. Because, you know, I'm going to stop putting shit on the rundown screen that I can't speak intelligently about. You know, you don't have to have an opinion on everything. You know that some things you could just wait until you have enough information to speak about it. It is what happens when you hang out with white people, man. White people have you convinced that, no, you're entitled to have an opinion on everything, including on whether Pluto should be a planet. All right. Okay, in other news, I was reminded that, I mentioned that today's June 11th, right? Yes, I did. All right, so June 10th was, the finale was aired 16 years ago. Oh my God, what was the finale of The Sopranos was aired. Here, let me just read the caption. It goes, Soprano finale aired 16 years ago today, and honestly, the ending has grown on me. Oh, this is according to Wu-Tang Kids. Wu-Tang Kids, Wu-Tang is for children. And they said, I'm good with it after like 6 rewatch of the entire series. Right. Here's the thing, man. The what's his name of the David oh my god, Sopranos. If you can't tell, I'm a huge fan of the Sopranos. Don't get me wrong, not as much as The Wire. Yes, The Wire, then the Sopranos. And all right, I'm trying to remember the name of the David Chase, Jesus Christ. Now, as far as I'm concerned, David Chase can do no wrong. Well, except for black characters. I'm going to get to that, actually. But, yeah, no, I still remember that ending. Spoiler alert, it ends with a blacked out screen, and you can't tell whether the main character got popped or whether, like, I still remember thinking that, what, did the power go out? But, yeah, once he gave his explanation to why he chose that kind of ending, then I said, all right, David Chase, then fuck it. You want me to like it? Then I will like it. Then I will accept it. So, yeah, man. So, shout out to The Sopranos. June 10th, 2007 was when the final episode aired. But The Soprano was initially released on January 10th, 1999. Interesting. The Twin Towers were still around. Oh, okay. All right. Next item on the rundown sheet. Did I really not put it in there? Oh, man. There's someone who wrote something about... Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. So, this popped up in my tweet. The one time Twitter gets it right. Okay. And it's by a comedian. Her name is Kath Barbadero, right? Stand-up comedian. Shout out to her because I love this tweet. And she said, it's crazy how bad The Sopranos was at writing black people. And she's fucking right. I never brought it up. Never brought it up because one, all the Soprano fans that I knew were all white, and the last thing they want is a fucking conversation about is the kind of white people who I can't have that kind of conversation. Like they'd be like, "What the fuck, man? Soprano was progressive. There was at least one nigger in there. You know what I mean? Like for them, having black characters in there was like progress. You know, another show that really sucked at writing black characters, Sons of Anarchy. Fuck." I hated those shows, man. Anyways, yeah. So don't get me wrong. I love The Sopranos. Don't get me wrong. But when it came to writing black characters, I'm like, what? I don't know, man. This shit, these characters don't look believable. But it is what it is, man. It is what it is. Okay. All right. Enough about The Sopranos. What else do I have? Okay. Quote of the day. They can cry in a Ferrari. Now, if you've heard that quote and have no context to it, I'm gonna play where it comes from, and it's by OnlyFans, content creator, sorry for the chuckle, and her name is Ellie Brooks. All right, okay, so here we go.
I'm just curious about you being.
I guess I should mention that she's in an interview with what's that white boy's name? Pierce Morgan. I don't like Pierce Morgan. But I'm trying to be objective in this explanation, right? And here, the caption goes, OnlyFans creators Ellie Brooks talks to her future kids finding out about her career. Here we go. Okay. Let's put it this way. Pierce Morgan is being a bitch-ass nigga and pretty much telling, yo, wouldn't you be more comfortable if you were barefoot and pregnant? But here we go.
Being someone who embarked on a law career, was obviously very bright, went to university, packed it in just for money to be effectively an online stripper. I mean, that's what you do, right?
Yeah, way worse than an online stripper. But
what do you mean, way worse?
Way worse. Online strippers just, you know, naked. I do things that are way more grotesque than
just
that.
Pornography.
Pornography, anything. But it's all within what I want to do, and I absolutely love it, and I'm really good at it. You know, I could be a good lawyer, yes, but also am I good at doing other things on video and camera?
How would
yes.
you feel when you want to have kids yourself?
Well, I mean, that's... I don't really want kids right now. But
you will do. How old are you?
25.
Right, so you will do at some stage, probably, yes, right? Maybe. When you do, you're going to be proud that you have your little ones and they look at you and go, didn't you want to be a lawyer, Mummy? What happened?
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, but look at all my stuff.
They can cry in a Ferrari.
Oh, bruh. Hold on a second. Oh my God. My God. Yeah, nah, look, man. I guess the reason I'm playing this clip is because I've been getting a lot of inspiration from people who just have, from different backgrounds, who are different from me, who have different origins, whatever, right? Look, one is, as I left the cult of masculinity, I started to open my eyes to the realities, the struggle women go through. I started to educate myself on that kind of shit. And I realized that amongst men, we high-five each other. What was that? What's that quote from the Sopranos say that? But from The Godfather, he says, basically along the line of, I don't give a fuck what a person does for their money, right? It's none of my business as long as it doesn't conflict with what I'm doing, right? It's like a code amongst men. We high-five each other. Oh, shit. All right. Selling drugs? All right. You mugging people? All right. You making tech software? High-five, high-five, high-five. You the man. You a badass, right? Now, a woman who's hot and realize that there's motherfuckers out there willing to pay me to have sex. Yo, ain't no one paying me to have sex. Ain't no one paying me to take off this shirt, right? But that's power. That's, it's whatever. But it's only with them do we, like, pull the brakes and be like, all of a sudden we're getting all moral. It's like, oh my God. Oh, disgusting. Showing off your titty. We'll high five. Look, I listen to rappers brag about how they're fucking boosters. Brag about how they sold drugs. Fucking the Clips. Clips has a line where he says, Malice has a line. He says, yes, it pains me to see them need this. All these lost souls, and I'm their Jesus. Yeah, he knows that he's taking advantage of, he's fucking up his community at each other's throat for the love of a foreign car. We can talk, we can brag about murdering people, about extortion, making people's, ripping people off from their savings. We can brag about that shit, but a woman says, hey, I'm getting naked and having sex. Oh no, oh my God. I'm just like, look, it's fucking hypocritical. It drives me nuts. It makes me angry, man. Makes me angry, and another reason why, if a war were to break down between the sexes, I'm joining the ladies. I'm exaggerating, it's not that bad. But I'm just saying, oh my God. What I love about this interview is how Ellie Brooke was like, fuck you, Pierce Morgan. Not in those words, but smiling, and she knows she's doing shit that usually she gets shame from. But no, she did what Tyrion from Game of Thrones suggested. He says, yo, man, know who you are and wear that shit like a throne. Wear that shit like an armor. Okay, let me read the actual quote. It goes, Tyrion, GOT quote. That quote about, once you've accepted your flaws, no one can use them against you. Now, I'm not saying Ellie Brooke having sex is a flaw. I'm saying the fact that she decided to go against the grain, to from society's point of view, what she's doing is a flaw. Oh my God, you're being a whore. And when the truth is, she's just being an independent thinker. She's just playing the game of life by her own rules. Usually we respect that shit, except when it comes to a woman showing her punani. Anyways, yeah, I love this line, man. Once you've accepted your flaws, no one can use them against you. Like, look, I've been thinking a lot about the fact that I broadcast on this podcast about being highly sensitive. And it's something that I usually hide because people usually go at it. But I'm starting to make peace with it, man. I'm putting it out there. I'm letting you know that, yes, I'm aware that I'm sensitive, meaning, sure, you can attack this quote-unquote weakness, but I'm going to see you fucking come. It's pretty much like saying, hey, my back door is open, or I leave my door open. I'm broadcasting to the world that, yes, my door is open, but what I'm also saying is I'm expecting you motherfuckers, but I also got, you know, 6 pit bulls and I feed them gunpowder. We're waiting. Like, I know you'll be coming through this door. So I guess, yes, I'm empowered. I'm inspired by the way Ellie Brooke was just like, man, fuck it, man. Fuck you. I'm making money. Right? You can get mad. No, I ain't trying to have kids, but if I do, I'm going to teach them that, yo, mommy did her best with what she had. No, mommy played the fucking game. Basically, mommy did exactly what, what's his name, sir? Oh my God, I'm blanking on his name, but that's because I got high yesterday. Ooh, remember to give you, yeah, Frank Sinatra said, she did this like my way. Because I grew up in a church too, man, and I realized that, yo, it took me a while to say, you know what? I'm starting to think that the winners of life aren't the motherfuckers who allow some pastor, some book written by a bunch of dead white folks who couldn't give a fuck about my existence years ago. Nah, man, it's not. It's the people who live by their own set of rules. Like, I'm realizing, like, I feel like I've been lied to. And, well, look, man, shout out to Ellie Brooks, man. Shout out to Ellie Brooks. And I'm not just saying that because I Googled her and I'm like, damn, like their content. But it was empowering, man. It was empowering. She did that. I know, you know, for the young girls out there who want to be independent, but she did it for anyone else who just wants to live their lives and do it my way and do it their way. All right. Okay. Okay. In other news, I'm not going to read the full article, but. Oh, I can't even realize I had this, right? But the title of the headline goes, a Loblaws is asking customer to show receipts before exiting, and people are pissed. Now, Loblaws been in the news because they've been bragging about how, hey, we're making record-making profit while telling you that, hey, we got to raise these prices. It's not our fault. Times are hard, man. Fucking assholes. Loblaws is like bragging about making profits while pretending to give a fuck about the rest of us are going through some, oh yeah, we're going through some difficult times. Times are very difficult. That's why we're making profits. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense. Anyways, so in the Loblaws in my area, in my hometown, apparently they were asking, okay, the sign goes, please be prepared to show your receipt upon exiting to validate and maintain inventory accuracy. So apparently they're having a theft problem going on, right? And so they've been asking people to show their receipts. And I just had a thought while reading this article, again, which will be in the show notes, about how when I go to stores, I already prepare to show, I'm a black person. I have my receipt because I don't have bags. I have my receipt because I've normalized a security guard who's from Ottawa or from butt fuck nowhere, Ontario, Quebec, or whatever the fuck, some parts of Canada where there's no black people, and he can't tell the difference between me and the last black person or dark or non-white person who stole from the fucking store. I'm used to walking out with my receipt in clear view, ready to show it. But I'm also realizing that I'm also feeling the like I've gotten used to it. But I go to these stores feeling like a criminal. I play by the rules. I think it's like I think about the fact that if you know me, I'm actually okay. I'm not bragging here, but I'll for the most part, I can be a kind person. I can, do kind shit. But a lot of it is like trauma response. It's really my way of saying, don't be mean to me. Right? I'm used to going to these stores and look, I know you can't tell. I know you believe that we're all niggers. Here's my receipt. Like, I'm trying to remember. Okay, a friend of mine noticed how I was at her place and I was like constantly, hey, can I sit there? Can I do this? Can I get a glass of water? Like I was like so worried about crossing a line. I guess what I'm saying, it would be, look, fuck you, Loblaws, man. It's bad enough that I've been tolerating your high prices and you not giving a fuck. It's bad enough I've been tolerating your high prices. It's bad enough I've been tolerating you bragging about how you're making record profits, right? You're not talking about keeping your head above water. No, you're bragging about the fact that you're making, you don't give a fuck about my financial situation. To add to my misery, I gotta go to your stores and feel like a, like I know you're bullshitting me when you say we value our customers. No, you fucking don't. You think we're all criminals. You need us to show your receipt. Look, I'm saying, I understand that you might be having a theft problem going on. I fucking hate the fact that I have to suffer for it. It's like, look, it's not our fault. Sorry, buddy. All right. Some nigger robbed us yesterday, so we want to make sure that you're not that nigger. Now, I'm going to assume that there's also white people who steal from Loblaws, especially from the self-cashing place. I'm just saying, your theft problem is your... I know I'm not saying anything that's going to make Loblaws change their mind, but what I am saying is I'm kind of... You're adding to my anxiety. I hate the fact... I don't like going shopping. I really don't like... After this podcast, I got to rush out to pick up some cooking oil. But I fucking hate having to leave my house to enter your fucking store to give you my money to purchase this shit. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, there's an exchange. I need something. That's how economics work. Merch, you know, I need something. Supply and demand. All right, I give you the money. But in addition to going into your store, I got to feel like I got to be careful. They don't trust me, even though I'm a trustworthy person. You know what I mean? I don't know what your solution should be to handling theft. I'm just saying it's not fair that I go into your store feeling like a criminal. As far as I'm concerned, I'm one of the good ones, and I deserve to be treated like one of the good ones. Oh my God, that's what, okay. All right. Oh, struggling to make that point. Okay. All right. Speaking of Ottawa, that's my thought on proof of purchasing. Because Walmart, actually, I noticed Walmart, at least my local Walmart, has stopped. Like, I walk with my receipt, and security guard just, like, ignores me. Just like, keep going, whatever. Yeah, we trust you. Thank you for shopping at Walmart. I love that. I'm like, it's fucked up, right? I feel like a tap in the back. I feel like, oh man, it makes my day that they don't check my receipt. Unless I fucked up. That is different, right? It's one time at my barbershop, shout out to Fade's Barbershop. If you're in there ever, I'll just Google Fade's. Anyway, yeah, a long time ago got my haircut and I'm getting ready to walk. I forgot to pay. And my barber friend just went, you gonna pay us next time? Like casual. I'm like, oh, my bad, bro. But I love that he wasn't, hey, knuckle, where the fuck you going? It was just a casual, hey, so you gonna pay us next? You gonna get us next time? And to me, it feels good to not be treated like a criminal. When someone says, I trust you. Because I kind of earned it. Anyway, whatever. All right. Okay. Okay, this one was a little difficult to make sense of, but apparently there was a anti-trans protest in Ottawa, right? And I'll play the clip. Play the clip. All right, here we go. Hold on a second. In Ottawa, this is from Global News.
The children of anti-trans demonstrators trampled on pride flags in front of a school. In a rally that's a microcosm for the rising hostility facing the queer community in Canada.
Assault! Assault!
It all erupted on a normally quiet residential street in Ottawa, with police making at least 5 arrests.
Leave the kids alone!
In a far-right event organized outside 3 schools.
Christ is king! Christ is king!
Christ is king!
Counter-protesters outnumbered anti-trans demonstrators. Yeah. Police tried to keep both sides apart.
You know, we have broad support here, and we're basically trying to push back against the transphobic message and the hateful message.
That message is being amplified outside libraries and schools across the country as the number of anti-trans protests spike in Canada and anti-trans bills pass throughout North America.
I am disappointed to see that anti-trans protesters have decided to make their grievances heard in front of schools as opposed to Queen's Park or Parliament, where protests are perhaps better suited.
The demonstration comes right at the start of Pride Month and at a time of growing hostility towards the queer community, particularly trans people.
You can wear it all you want.
A protest in the Toronto area also turned hostile this week. Students walked out of school after the York Region Catholic School Board voted against raising the pride flag.
All right, okay. You know what? You can read the rest. Links will be in the show note. But the real reason why I brought this up, I'm sharing this article, aside from the fact that it's Pride Month, I love the fact that they mentioned, I missed that part. Okay, so apparently what's going on is a bunch of schools, there's a school in Ottawa that decided to upgrade their fucking sex ed class and explain the reality of, you know, trans people exist. And of course a bunch of right wing conservative piece of shit show up to say, no, don't do that. Keep our kids ignorant. Now, here's the part that wasn't mentioned in this story. Members of the Muslim community showed up there too. Not all Muslims in Ottawa, granted, right? But I'm saying the religious folks. Members of the Muslim community showed up and they were like, yo, once they heard, yo, you're going after our kids? Fuck that shit. Leave our kids alone. And what the Muslim community didn't realize, the Muslim anti-trans protesters didn't care about is these assholes were like fucking protesting with right-wing motherfuckers with red hats. I mean, MAGA folks, whatever, right? At some point, this is actually one of my biggest fear. White Canadians start to realize, or not white Canadians, conservative, not in Canada, that's our Republicans, conservatives start to realize that some of these immigrants, these dirty, rotten, non-white looking, non-pure, non-real Canadians think like us. They're conservatives like us. We need to start to reach out to them because our numbers, like, yes, we have assholes too. I'm sure there were black people, Haitians, also in that anti-trans protest, talking that bullshit, waving the Bible and saying whatever the fuck. But to them, it's like, yeah, we're united. See, we're not racist. They're with us. It's fucked up, man. It's, you know, what's making me laugh, like, there's a punchline in this shit here what the hell's his name? I'm blanking on a Canadian comedian from Montreal, black Canadian comedian from Montreal. I'm blanking on this brother's name. My brain, because I don't go out much. Anyways, he had a joke about, this was around after 9/11. And he was talking about how he said, yo, shout out to the Muslim community for 9/11, because now white people love us. I mean, it was a common joke. A lot of black communities made similar jokes to how all of a sudden after 9/11, black people became Americans. And the enemy was the Muslim community. Yeah, I still remember that era when a Muslim community, terrorism was the biggest, like white people finally loved us. It's okay, we together now, we're fighting against these fucking non-Jesus praying motherfuckers. And what's funny is how now the table is turned, because I guess the Muslim community is now allying themselves with these same white folks to go against the trans community. You know, this is my theory about racism. Racism will never go away. The only thing we can do as black folks is find someone else to take our place. So we can join. Like, this fucking human nature bothers me about this shit, man. Anyway, I'm just saying that I'm angry at how in the anti-trans protesters, they were a member of the Muslim community, but I'm not surprised. Because I did grow up with, people are fucking people, man. And religious people, they can be the worst and they can be the best. But for the most part, they are the worst. Holding on to old school shit. Like, I went to school with Muslim dudes, but except they were Lebanese kids. But they were Catholic. You know, fucking, you know, Arabs are as fucked up as we are when it comes to, like, you can't put us in one demographic. They're as broken up as we are, split up as black people are, man. It's like, white people lied to us by saying, yeah, you're Arab, you're African. We're fucking humans. And any human group, and with humanity comes diversity. There's diverse ways of thinking. So I'm saying I went to school with Lebanese kids, and yeah, and they kept us away. It's like, yeah, my parents don't want to hear that gay shit. I can't talk about how I can't tell them that I'm lesbian. I can't tell them that I'm gay because they'll disown me. You know, they had that shit too. It's sad. It's unfortunate, but it's a fucking reality. But what's scary is how these white folks might start. Okay, all right. Look, I know we don't like these Muslim folks, but we need to recruit them against these fucking woke, these N-words. These N-words and these N-word lovers. And that's the world that we live in, man. Yeah, that's the reality. All right. Oh, right, in other news. Hold on, all right, okay, I'm gonna go with this, right? Hey, guess who died? Pat Robertson, about fucking time. Check this out. Yay! Man, fuck Pat Robertson. And if you want to be down with Pat Robertson, then fuck you too. You know what? Okay, I'm just going to remind you, some of you are probably saying, who's Pat Robertson? Exactly, because his name only pops up after a tragedy, and he's always there to use the name of Jesus to be like, yeah, no, I think Jesus was down with this shit. So I'm going to play some of his greatest hits here. Pat Robertson's greatest hit. And before I do that, shout out to Gene Sickle? You know what? Some user on Reddit, and he said Pride, because how Pat Robertson died on Pride Month, and they wrote Pride, the acronym for Pride, P-R-I-D-E, means Pat Robertson is dead, everybody. Very clever. You know, I would give them, what do you call it, a star? What's that thing when you really want to, look, I'm giving you an upvote. All right. Okay. Anyway, so I'm going to play some of Pat Robertson's greatest hits. Look, all this to say that, look, Pat Robertson lived the kind of life where I don't think homeboy was expecting someone like me to say anything nice about him when he died. All right. I'm going to fuck that up. I'm willing to accept if I go to hell for making fun of a dead old white man. So be it. But I feel justified. Nothing about his life. He probably wanted to beat me into submission, you know, like a slave owner. But yeah, Pat Robertson was a piece of shit. He lived life like a piece of shit, and he died like one. And he had many times to repent, and he didn't. So here we go. Let me just play some of his greatest hit. Hold on a second. Go.
There's never been a civilization ever in history that has embraced homosexuality and has survived. The Bible says, if any man will not work, let him not eat. Now, that didn't say, if any man will not work, let him go to the soup kitchen and let the government pick up the tab. Something happened a long time ago in Haiti. They got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. The people of color have to rise up.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, okay. That's my favorite one. I think he said that shit after the earthquake. But I've heard other Christians say that shit about how, yeah, Hades is such a shithole because they made a pact with the devil to free themselves. Whatever, some bullshit like that. But all this to say, get my man, Uman. I hope you burn in hell. I hope there is a hell. And you're burning in there. Needless to say, I didn't like Pat Robertson, right? With that said, I'm going to acknowledge the fact that it's Pride Month. And that's the other reason I'm being like, fuck, because he was homophobic as a motherfucker. He said a lot of shitty things. I shout out to the, I'm acknowledging Pride Month because, not because, but in addition, I was listening to the BFF podcast, Black Fat Fam podcast, and specifically the episode called Pride with Intention. And I listened to that episode, and I finished listening to that episode. Kind of, I remember feeling the same way after a good sermon. It was like they dropped some knowledge on that episode, and it just, it made me just want to emphasize the fact that it's Pride Month. And yeah, this is a lot of these articles, these stories are like more related to. Look, it's kind of like on if you're familiar with the Black Guy Who Tits podcast, they have a segment called LGBTQ News, LGBTQ News, and yeah, this is like my LGBTQ segment. With that said, I'm going to play a clip about, and the title goes, The Colonial Roots of African Homophobia. I should label this as I fucking knew it, right? But, yeah, let me just play the clip and we'll take it from there. Here we go.
Let's talk about the colonial roots of homophobia on the African continent. Among the many myths that have been created about Africa, the myth that homosexuality is un-African is one of the oldest and most persistent ones. Many of us have heard the claim that homosexuality is an imported Western evil or a white disease. So much so that of the 72 countries worldwide that criminalize homosexuality, 32 of them are in Africa. However, claiming that any one thing really is un-African completely reduces the whole continent to one homogenous entity, and it's also not true. Homophobia, not homosexuality, is a vestige of colonial rule, and where people like to say that colonialists brought homosexuality to Africa, they actually imported the intolerance of it. Heck, they're the ones who introduced penal codes to outlaw and suppress queer identities on the continent, and then repackaged those laws as centuries-old traditional African customs. Keep in mind, a lot of what is known today about traditional African cultures was written by the same colonial system that seriously disrupted them. In fact, pre-colonization, life in African communities was just as fluid and gradually changing as it was in any other part of the world. African societies had much more relaxed attitudes towards sexual orientation and gender identity, and even in cases where such things were frowned upon, they didn't have systems of surveillance and regulation to outlaw same-sex relationships. But let's rewind a bit and take a look at how we got to where we are now. You see, in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, European countries such as Britain, France, Portugal, Belgium, and Germany sought to exploit Africa's resources and establish political control. And right. So, within two decades, the entire continent was claimed, partitioned, and colonized. With their arrival, though, came a clash of cultures as European norms and values clashed with indigenous African beliefs and practices. For example, the Portuguese were shocked to find that Queen Singa of now Angola was dressed as a man and had a harem of young men who dressed as women and were her wives. The English were flabbergasted at reports that the Azande people engaged in same-sex relationships simply because they liked each other. An Italian missionary described a presiding priest of the Mbangala as an extremely villainous, disreputable scoundrel who committed the foulest of crimes simply because he cross-dressed and liked to be called grandmother. European colonizers brought with them rigid views of morality, heavily influenced by Christian teachings, and sadly, these moral values were imposed on African societies either through force or coercion. But more on that in part two.
Oh, shit. Holy shit, hold on a second. Is there a part two? I'm not going to play it. I'll leave it in the show notes. And let's see. Is there a part two? Oh, there is a part two. Yeah, fuck it. Wait, hold on a second. Yeah, okay, fuck it. I hadn't heard the part two, but I'm going to play it. But all this to say that I grew up on that during my teen years, during my unenlightened days. I used to be down with the Hotep movement before it was called the Hotep movement. And, well, in my mind, I thought I was being pro-black. But the one thing is, I remember after reading that Malcolm X book and we were talking about the origin of white people, it taught me how to be skeptical about anything we were told about our African origins and whatnot. And what bothered me about the Hotep movement / the pro-black movement, whatever the new name is, I know Hotep movement is how the one time we stopped short, they stopped short about questioning African origins and when it came to sexuality. It's like, no. Them Europeans got that shit right. Yeah, nah, man, we ain't down with that gay shit. Nah, fuck that. I always imagined that wherever we came from, I imagine there was a better acknowledgement of the fact that we are diverse, like humanity was diverse in thinking and behavior. And, look, anytime I meet a black person who talks that bullshit, some anti-trans or transphobic or homophobic shit, first thing I say is like, yeah, everything you know about sexuality comes from the Bible. You need to, dead that shit. All right, let me play part two. Here we go.
to European colonization, many African societies had much more relaxed attitudes towards sexual orientation and gender identity, but to the colonial and most of all religious institutions, that simply didn't do. In order to successfully maintain colonial control of the continent, European colonial powers designated new tribes, new homelands, and new customary laws. They replaced chiefs where they could and invented them where they couldn't, all to enforce their quote-unquote original customs. You see, these customary laws were tweaked to conform to colonial rule, given ancient cultural legitimacy, and then legally enforced by customary authorities who were backed by colonial power. And within these standards for good Africanness, a proper African woman would never choose to like whoever she liked. No, no, no. A proper African man wouldn't sleep with a person of the same gender. Forget it. From 16th century reports of unnatural damnation in Angola to 17th century reports of detestable vices in Nubia and copulation contre nature in Senegal, or an 18th century report of Herero men forsaking the natural use of women, homosexuality was seen as a threat to the established gender order as it deviated from the binary understanding of male and female roles. In fact, at the time, in the eyes of the church, all forms of sexuality were sinful and everyone was at risk of temptation. I cannot stress enough how big a role European missionaries played and still do in spreading these beliefs. Wow. Keep in mind, in the early 1900s, Christians made up about 9% of the population in sub-Saharan Africa, but by 2010, that leapt up to 63%. Sadly, as a result, African societies, which had previously held diverse and inclusive attitudes towards sexuality, began to adopt more rigid and stigmatizing views. European explorers had long decried homosexuality as a problem outside of the West, even writing that they felt they had to go on a mission of moral reform to correct and Christianize native customs for fear of moral infection. Thus, colonial powers introduced new legal systems and penal codes to criminalize same-sex relationships, many of which, by the way, were imposed on African populations without their consent. Laws like Section 377 criminalized unnatural offenses and not only reinforced societal prejudices, but also created a legal framework that continues to impact LGBTQ plus communities today. But more on that in part three.
Oh my
Prior
God.
To European colonization.
This is a part three. Jesus. All right. You must learn. All right. The part three hasn't been published yet. So, but I will put part two inside the show notes. And before I forget, oh my God, before I forget, the name of the gracious content creator who shared this, who dropped this gem on us, their name is Tanita D. Oh, let me just go, I'm going to her profile. Tanita D. Tanisa? Tanas, oh my God, it's pronounced in French, I think. Tanaisa, makes more sense. There's like a tréma under the two dots under her eye. And yeah, man, shout out to Tanita D. Let me go on her link tree. Not her link tree, whatever this thing's called. Scammer Social. Oh, okay. All right, so she's got a YouTube. I have this thing where I'm adding content to YouTube, content creator on YouTube. Subscribe. All right. And, right, what was I doing? Part two. Where did I. And that was part two of the colonial roots of African homophobia. Yeah, I think the key word, what it's like, okay, maybe there was, you know, homophobia. No, the intolerance of homosexuality is what they brought, what the white man brought to the continent. And no, I'm not saying white people are homophobic. I'm saying whitey is. All right, okay. Yay, let's do this. Perfect. Okay, so this is all I have for Pride Month. The last two items I had on the, oh my God, rundown sheet. I did say this is today's theme is, that's just how I feel. So I'm just airing out opinions, airing out thoughts. Maybe I should have broken down this segment, but that's another thing. All right, last two items that I have is, I love this one. It's a thought exercise, right? Actually, the last two are thought exercises. So I'm going to play it. Again, this is from TikTok. And, yeah, you might want to write this down, right? But, yes, what do you think of this one here?
Hypothetical question. Would you rather be transported
through? Oh, man, sorry about that. Okay. Yeah, hypothetical question. Process this one.
Hypothetical question. Would you rather be transported 3,000 years into the past or 3,000 years into the future? Full explanation and caveats at the end. No matter which direction you choose, you will be inoculated against all diseases, and you will not be taking any diseases with you. You will also be equipped with the Universal Translator, which will allow you to speak to the people, because either way, you're probably not going to speak the language. You will not be able to take anything with you in either direction. Remember, if you choose to go 3,000 years into the past, this is going to be the era where Israel was at its height. The Latins have just moved into Italy. This is actually the era of some really significant cultures in Africa. And rice has just been cultivated in Japan. If you choose to go 3,000 years into the future, you don't know what you're getting into. It could be a wonderful utopia where technology has cured all our ills, or it could be a horrible dystopia of unimaginable horror. So you're kind of rolling the dice depending on what you think of human nature, or maybe just where you're going to end up on the continuous wheel of how screwed up humanity can be versus how great humanity can be. So do you choose to go 3,000 years forward or 3,000 years back? Let me know.
I can't answer this one. No, I tell you what, I know what I'm not going. I'm not going into the future because I'm negative that way, right? But what hit me is going back into the past. There's a black dude wrote how, first it was a response to the woman who said, yeah, ain't no fucking way I'm going in the past because shit ain't great for women. And then a black dude said, shit ain't good for us. And then I had to remind this brother that, no, man, racism is a new invention. 3,000 years ago, racism did not exist. But, and I said, I would go back 3,000 years and warn the Africans and the indigenous about white folks, about Europe. But here's the thing, two thoughts came to mind is, how do I warn them? One, first thought was, how do I warn them without being as evil as white people? Because I don't want to, okay, yeah, these white people are going to do this, break down slavery, and they'll be like, what? Okay, fuck that. We going to Europe, wipe them all out. Say, no, that's not what I meant. I just said, if a dude named Columbus shows up, shoot him on sight. Second, this is 3,000 years ago, which means, I don't know, I don't think Europe, okay, what was Europe 3,000 years ago? It doesn't matter, right? But I'm just saying, something tells me that 3,000 years ago, warning African people about Europe, they'd probably laugh at me. I mean, fuck, those cave people? I don't know. I don't know how. Something tells me that 3,000 years ago, it'd be like warning United States about Canada. Yeah, these guys are going to be a problem one day. It's like, get the fuck out of here. Anyway, I'm just saying, 3,000 years ago minus, oh, wait a minute. Wait. No, that's not half that time. Wait, okay, hold on. Let me do the math here. 3,000 years ago, that means we'd be 1,000 BC or some shit like that. Something tells me that getting African countries or African people, I'm just going to say people because it was one big-ass continent and indigenous people, getting them ready for the arrival of the first European would be like warning humanity about climate change. Motherfuckers might laugh. Like, I might have a few people who are down with the program, but they might be dangerous. They might be like, okay, I see what you're saying. Let's kill them all. No. That's not what I mean. I'm saying be ready. 15 years from now. Wait, how much? I'm trying to do the math here. Fuck, I don't have a pen. 1,000 BC and fast forward to 1,000. Like, basically, 1492, y'all need to get the fuck ready. Yeah, and cut out that I guess I'm saying, I love this thought exercise. I'd probably go back into the past, but thing is, I don't have confidence that I'd be able to go to the past and do what I want them to do, which is be fucking ready for Columbus. Or pop a cap in Columbus' ass. Whatever. All right. Maybe I should show up with weapons. Oh, he did say you can't bring anything with you. But anyway, I love that thought exercise. And that's why I'm sharing it with you. Okay. Last item on my rundown sheet. All right. Finally. Yay. Hold on a second. Last item on my rundown sheet. Yay! This reminds me of this one time I was doing a comedy show. And there was 24 fucking comics on the line of. And when the MC, when we got to the number 24, he's like, yeah, finally. Oh, man, that audience was like, yeah. Boy, am I glad I wasn't number 24. And number 24 was actually dope. It was actually funny. Good. Like, people were ready to leave. But here we are. All right. So, yeah, I'm not going to play this clip, but I am sharing the link, right? And I titled it, white chick dancing alone to salsa. Now, I'll be honest with you. The fact that she's white is not really relevant. But fuck it, I pointed out. But it's more the fact that she was dancing salsa. And this lady looks like she's having the time of her life. Now, like I said, the fact that she's white is irrelevant. It's the fact that she was dancing alone. So I think she was at some concert. She's at some concert and she's doing what I would do, like when I'm at a rap fest. You know, when you're just reciting the song, she knows the song, she's reciting the song, she's dancing salsa, and she's by herself. And I remember my first thought, pretty woman. She looks like, you know, she's an attractive woman. But I remember my first thought when I saw that, watching this woman enjoying herself, feeling sad at the fact that she was alone. And then I'm like, wait a minute, don't do that again. Don't fall for that trap of, oh, because she's a single woman, that means she's miserable. Nah, man. This is me unlearning that shit. She was having the time of her life, dancing by herself. Someone in the comment section noticed that shit. It's like, yeah, she don't need no man. I don't mean it like that, but she was just having a great time. And I'm just pointing out the fact that how my initial caveman, male chauvinistic pig patriarchy thought was, poor her, she's alone. Nah, and that's bullshit. I'm looking at a woman having the time of her life, and good for her. Who knows what's going on in her mind? But my point is to kill that assumption, because a woman is by herself, a woman tells you she's single, means she's miserable. Nah, man. A lot of us, not just women, men and women have been, a lot of us have been in shitty relationships. The kind of shitty relationship that make you realize that there's a lot worse to this life than being single or being alone or having moments of feeling loneliness. And that's being with someone who makes you wish you were alone. Anyways, all right, okay. This concludes news and random thoughts. So let's get the final thoughts so y'all can get the fuck out of here, all right? Let's go. Man. You know, as I do these things, I'm more mindful of the time that I take, and I've taken a lot of time, so I'll try to make this quick. All right, real quick. Oh, okay, you know what? I had put we are what we believe we are, but I already mentioned that in the intro, how part of the reason why I shared this, because it had me thinking about, yes, I know, I think I said in the past episode I was going to talk about feeling cursed, and first I want to say that that's bullshit. That's bull. My podcast episode is not like a sitcom where just because I had some revelation means all of a sudden I'm going to change to be a better person. Nah, man. Sometimes I have revelations and it's kind of like the same time of when you're going through a breakup. It takes a time. Time takes time to heal. Wait. It's going to be a while before I'm able to snap out of this hole. Just because I acknowledge the fact that, hey, I feel like a curse, doesn't mean that I'm going to stop doing it. No, that shit is engraved in my operating system, but it's going to be a while before I can let go of that, this notion of believing that I'm cursed. But I did have another revelation about this whole curse thing, and it's how it's kind of a form of protection, this belief of being cursed. Because I kind of associated, through my growth, I kind of like created this belief or adopted this belief that the people who get hurt are people who take risk. And part of believing that I'm cursed is, I think it's my brain's way of saying, to stop me from taking unnecessary risk, of just taking any kind of risk. Because I just tell myself, don't take a risk because you're just going to lose. You're just going to put yourself in pain. But it was just, yeah, just a realization that I had. And it'd be interesting to have a conversation about that kind of stuff. Like, if you're going through life feeling cursed, have you stopped yourself? Have you stopped to think why you have that belief? But here we are. All right. Last and final thought is, what's up with the title? One, it was kind of random because I was going through the week and realizing, hey, I don't have a theme. I don't have a title for this next episode, episode 86. What episode am I at? Am I at 86? Yeah, 86. And then Money Trees came on random on my playlist. And I was stuck. Well, A, I love the song, and I've always known that it's only a matter of time before I quote one of the lyrics and use it as a title. Actually, I have used it before. Gang sign out the windows. Hope of you. Whatever, okay. I love the track. But bottom line is I love this track. I love the verses. Shout out to Kendrick Lamar. This is going on. If I have like a top five of his tracks, Money Tree is definitely up there. But when it was playing, I remember being stuck on the part where he kept saying, "That's just how I feel." Now, I know in the song he's talking about money or money trees or whatnot, and it wasn't about. But for me, the words, "That's just how I feel," I was locked to it. And I'm like, yes, that's the overall theme for today's episode. And I should pretty much say it of every episode I've put out on this podcast. Bottom line is, that's just how I feel. I'm honoring my feelings. That's what I'm doing. This podcast allows me to honor my feelings. So with all that said, shout out to Kendrick Lamar, dope ass track. And who else is on that track? This is me reciting the track. Hold on. What's it called again? Okay, I'm going too long, right? Let me just real quick. I want to shout out Kendrick Lamar and J-Rock and DJ Dahi. Wait, that's the girl singing in there? Kendrick Lamar. Or Anna Wise. Who's Anna Wise, by the way? Yeah. Hold on. While I'm here, because I got time. That's Anna Wise, a white woman. A white woman is on. I'll be damned. I did not know who. Money Tree. Holy shit. I thought it was a black girl. I'll be goddamn. She's the last one out to get this dope. No way. Love one of your bucket headed hoes. No way. Hit the streets and we break the code. No way. Hit the brakes when they on patrol. No way. Okay, it's just on loop. Oh my god, well, today you learn. Okay, Anna Wise, it's a white woman. Okay, anyway, so shout out to Anna Wise, J-Rock, DJ Dahi, and K-Dot. Yeah, love this track, man. It's like an anthem for me. But, yeah. Sometimes my title selections don't really need to make sense because you know why? Because it's my motherfucking podcast. All right. Okay. So this concludes today's episode. Real quick, you can holler at me, DM me on Twitter using @BBlizzak or at Shut Up Podcast. You know, do it while offer still lasts or until Elon Musk brings it to the ground. You know, apparently there's a story about how Elon Musk plans on, what's that smell? Plans on fucking up Twitter even more than it is already fucked up. Oh my God, wasting too many times. Yeah, so holler at me on that, or do me a favor, just go straight to the website, shutuppodcast.com. There's a contact us page. That's the that's my headquarters on the internet, shutuppodcast.com. And show notes are there. And also, you can email me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. On the website, to subscribe to this podcast, you can just go on the website and notice there's an RSS link, and you can use that to subscribe to the website or go to Google and Apple Podcasts. Yo, seriously, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcasts. You know, show some kindness. Just show some kindness, all right? All right, peace.
I am your king now!